Good morning and welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. As it's Friday, May 8th, I'm here with Jay and Andrew.
Taylor's Ocho de Mayo.
Ocho de Mayo. Big day.
How's your week?
It was good. I had a Cinco de Mayo party.
Yeah.
And it was bala.
That's the way to do it.
Oh, we got margarita stuff.
I tried to go to some local Mexican restaurants.
Bad idea.
Bad decision.
Terrible idea.
That's a bad idea, man.
I don't know what I was thinking. My wife was very mad at me.
I tried to just call Ted's and get just a big bag of chips. I was on the phone for 30 minutes. Never spoke to anyone. And I just went to Walmart and bought chips there.
So were you on the phone for 30 minutes with the phone just ringing?
Well, no. With their automated system.
Hello, thank you for calling Ted's.
Yeah, and I was like, they're like, to place it to go, order press 2. And I was like, bleep. And then it's just like, please wait. 30 minutes.
Billy Donovan was hired officially.
Speaking of Teddy, Billy Donovan. We're the kings of Segway.
So we haven't had a podcast where he's been officially named as the coach.
Really? I guess last one we just talked.
We just assumed that he was.
Because last one was on a Thursday, not a Friday.
And he was named the head coach later that day, press conference the next day.
So did we break it? I feel like we broke. We woged that.
Wide open.
Wide open.
We didn't. So Billy Donovan, the more I learn about him and the more I hear him talk, like, I really like this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's going to be a great coach. And he had a lot of really good things to say in his press conference.
If the coaching, you know, if how good of a coach you are is based on how incredibly you run a press conference, he may be the best in the NBA.
He's going to be great.
Just a wonderful press conference that he hosted. And one of the coolest things, and I'm not sure a lot of coaches would be allowed to do this necessarily, then he flew back to Florida and did a goodbye press conference for the University of Florida, where he's been the coach there for 19 years.
That's a long time
to do anything, let alone coach a basketball team. Yeah. Especially a guy that has... That's what's crazy is that 07 Orlando team, like, some people are like, God, man, he would have taken over a terrible... No, that was actually a really good...
It was
Orlando
a good team.
Now it was on the downhill. Like, they were moving towards not being anything.
Yeah.
Because that was post-Stan Van, right?
No, pre-Stan Van.
Oh, was it pre? Well, never mind.
Before their finals run.
Yeah, never mind. Because
they went to the finals in 2009.
Okay.
Versus the Lakers. So he was inheriting a very good team.
And I mentioned that just to say, because, like, Florida really meant something to him, you know? There's a loyalty. And it just, there's more things as things come out and as the press conference developed. Like, he is a Thunder organization guy.
Yeah,
fits it to a T. And I remember... And one of the questions they asked, he mentioned the word process like 7 times in the answer. And I just could feel like Sam Presti's heart palpitating through the microphone. You know, it was like, oh, this is my guy. It's my guy.
Yeah.
You know, but wonderful press conference. Said everything that you want to hear, you know. And then we had the big, I don't know if we want to talk too much about this because it gives validity to a terrible, 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 terrible media.
Well, it's already been... proven to be dumb.
Yeah, it's just for me, I just want to make sure that people realize, like, if it's not from one of the beat writers of the Thunder, Royce or
Darnell,
some of the big ones,
Darnell, or us, the Down to Dunk podcast.
Yeah, we did break the Donovan hire. Darnell, Anthony Slater, Royce Young, or any of the main guys, Mark Stein, you know.
Yeah.
Woj. Don't listen to it.
Yeah, stop.
Are we talking about...
Give it time, because... Maybe one person will break it, and then, like, Mark Stein will confirm it. But, yeah, don't jump on anything, especially pertaining to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Because he's not a guy who goes real public with stuff.
We're talking about Russell not liking the...
Yeah, so somebody... guy looking for followers and retweets basically posted that from sources, which is the most bullcrap thing ever, but sources indicate that... the Thunder asked Kevin Durant about the hire, but they didn't ask Russ, and Russ is frustrated with the organization. Well, Sam Presti had an interview with Darnell Mayberry the next day and said, yeah, that's just made it. Finally, actually just admitted that he did have a conversation with him about it, number one. And then he said, yeah, and then Russ is going to represent us at draft day and said that it was a really cool answer.
It was good.
He told that Russ better have a, if people at home don't have to turn down the brightness on their TVs because their outfit, he's going to be let down. So I thought that's
awesome.
It just shows that they're like, these guys,
nothing to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and I think the other part of that, and this is part of Billy D's, like they create, we don't see it as much, but it seems like they work really hard to create like a family atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, like they have this interconnectedness that they all have relationship with each other. And it was cool to see Durant and Nick Collison there. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the, not coaching staff, but the training staff guys. And I know that shooting coach, that's a friend of Durant's, was there as well. But yeah,
Sebastian Pruitti was there.
As far as, is that the blue coach?
He's one of the analytics guys. Or he's a video coordinator guy.
Okay. As much as the press conference, I mean, the press conference was just beyond anything I wanted to
experience. He was great. One of my favorite quotes was when he said that he needs his players to make a verbal commitment, the physical commitment, and then the emotional commitment to the team. In which case, I think Jeremy Lamb and Perry Jones looked at each other and said, what's he talking about?
What does that mean?
What does that mean? But I think that was really cool. Like he's got a lot of like real like leadership speak in him. You can tell he's read a lot of books. But I think that I think he's going to be great. I mean, he talks about his teams making the extra passes, being a free flowing offense, something that we haven't seen in Oklahoma City ever. So I think if he's able to achieve that here, I think that'll be great. And I think that a lot of people are saying that he's more of a defensive coach as well. I think that his offense will translate easily to the NBA because it's basically what everybody's doing. Everybody who's successful is using this type of offense. So they're trying to implement that. And then his attention to detail on defense is going to be really good for this team. So I'm excited.
And anybody that knows anything about his college career has been emphatically supporting this hire for the Thunder.
Sure.
You know, like anybody at College Mind or a former college coaches, PJ Colalissimo was like, you know, pretty supportive of the hire. Not supportive of the hire, but he thought it was a good hire. He thought Donovan would be a great coach.
And, yeah.
You know, I think that there's going to be a learning curve, but it'll be the first, 30 games of the season where he'll be figuring out how to do it.
Well, and he's admitted that, too. And he says, I'm not afraid to make mistakes.
And he also mentioned that he'd surround himself with, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but he wants to surround himself with somebody that has an NBA pedigree and experience so that
he's already hired a guy for his staff, a guy that worked with him at Marshall and then at Florida. I'm trying to remember his name.
It's not Anthony Grant, is it?
It is Anthony Grant.
Yeah. Yeah, Anthony Grant was one of the coaches at
And he coached at Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama. I think he was a VCU coach.
He followed
Jeff Capel, and then
he was the he coached Eric Maynor.
Yeah.
So
maybe there's a reunion on them.
No.
But yeah, I'm really excited about the hire, man, and I think he won over the entire Thunder fan base because of that press conference. He mentioned the bombing, you know, like talked about he was here for an AAU tournament the week of the bombing, and said that he went and one of the security guards recognized it, which I'm not sure what security guard in the world is paying attention to some coach at Marshall, but I know he's an assistant at Kentucky, I think at the time, maybe, but
I think he was at Marshall.
Was he at Marshall?
Yeah.
Somebody recognized him and walked him. That was my only question. I was like, who in the world? I pulled a Marshall coach, put him in this room right now. I had no idea who he was.
Yeah.
But some security guard was a big Marshall fan and let him through and walked him. Like he got the kind of tour of the,
maybe he's wearing a Marshall shirt.
Maybe. That said, had a coach badge on it.
Yeah.
And he just talked about he could just feel the heart of the city kind of in the midst of that moment. And I guarantee you, I know my dad at least was just swooning at this guy at that point. You know, most people were.
Probably. He was great.
He was.
Another thing he kept harping on, and this was in another interview, that you're only as good as the guy sitting next to you. Like he kept saying that. And I don't know.
At that point, everyone on the team just looked over at Jeremy Lamb.
Like,
Oh crap.
Well, and he said it. He was holding hands with Sam Presti and staring into his eyes when he said
the organization is now, I feel like, kind of complete in that they have the, I mean, Presti has his guy. Like, this is his guy.
Yep.
And, you know, Scott Brooks did a great job here in Oklahoma City.
And Donovan, he said, building on the foundation that Scotty made, you know, like, there's, which I thought was a good thing as well, you know?
Yeah. But we haven't seen him coach in the NBA before. And I think I'm really looking forward to it. I think I've said this. I think this team is going to be the most fun team in the league next year.
So let me ask you a question as part of this. So it kind of sounds like the more that you hear stuff about this, that this, now in the press conference, Donovan mentioned nobody talked to me about this until Sunday before, which is all bullcrap. But it does sound like, is there any part of it that's a little sketchy to you? Because it sounds kind of like Presti was making these, having these conversations January.
Well, he'd been visiting Florida. And there's no hiding that he was visiting. I mean, looking at some of his players and just watching him. And I mean, he's been on the NBA radar for years. I mean, every summer somebody has tried to hire him.
That's true. Last year, Cleveland tried to hire
Cleveland him. And Detroit made calls to Donovan, and he told them no. So he's been wanted as a coach for a long time, and it's weird. He acts like he, because in one of his press conferences or one of his interviews, he said that whenever he was asked about Presti, he said that he knew of Presti, was his wording, which is strange, like, because everybody else is like, oh, they're friends.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say, like, oh, I know of Jay.
Yeah, I know of him.
Well, that's what I say.
Well, it's fine.
But yeah, we like Billy D.
It'll be proven on the court, you know, obviously, like, yeah. The season isn't won in May, yeah. But, I mean, it is, but not for the next season, not for us.
Not our
season. But for me, it's, you know, I couldn't be as, you know, it is a gamble in some sense. Like, Brooks was the known entity.
Anything is a gamble at this point, though.
Yeah, and so, but as far as the initial kind of evaluation of it, I mean, I love the hire so far, so.
I mean, bringing in a new guy is always a gamble, and especially with a crew like this.
The guy can coach basketball, right?
Yeah.
Like, he knows how to coach basketball. How does it translate to the NBA is a big question.
Well, he hasn't like taken one style and coached that same style for 19 years. He has changed and evolved as a coach through the times, which is like a great sign of this guy being able to adapt.
I think that just to kind of maybe squash an argument, like, Brad Stevens kind of opened up the NBA college coach conversation a little bit more, but man, between NFL and NBA's history, like, there is a bad, like, it's just a bad history of college coaches translating, but there are some glaring qualities or weaknesses for the coaches that have failed.
Yeah.
And the number one is ego.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino, John Calipari, you know, and then you go to the NFL, which I think translates at least in some senses.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Saban, huge ego. Then you have guys that, Steve Spurrier, huge ego. And so there's this negative feeling towards it, but you don't think about a guy like Pete Carroll and that relational aspect of him that has been successful.
Right.
Brad Stevens obviously is the guy. And there are other coaches in the NBA that have a college background as well. And I think that's becoming less and less.
Yeah.
Because basically with the NBA today, you are kind of coaching an extended college team for some.
Well, I just think that you can't just put a blanket on any group of people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you have to treat each person as an individual and judge them that way and not say, like, oh, he's a college coach.
Yeah.
He can't do it.
Plus, you know, these players, coaches, like college coaches can often be like, you know, can be, and you know, maybe players just listed a little bit. I just have more faith in college coaches translating today.
Well, and they,
especially a guy like Donovan.
Well, most of them come into crappy situations that no one can succeed in anyways, in the NFL and in the NBA. It's always like a rebuilding
team.
Right.
And in the NHL.
And totally in the MLB.
Mm-hmm. Other sports.
TQs.
Let's go to some TQs.
Twitter questions.
Guys, at Malin OKC wants to know, more likely, Manu/Duncan retiring or Russ wearing something over the top for the draft lottery?
One's a guarantee.
Yeah, it's happening.
Russ is going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be great.
But I think this is a fun question because it makes me think Duncan's not retiring.
Is
Manu going to retire?
Manu kind of hinted that he's not going to go anywhere until Timmy does. Why not? I mean, come earn $1 million, play some basketball.
See, I didn't get to watch much of that series. Actually, I did, but not parts where Manu was playing.
I mean, he hasn't looked good.
Manu.
A lot of guys will sit on the bench a whole lot and still get paid. That's true. Ask Juwan Howard.
So, did he look like he fell off a little bit this offseason?
Oh, yeah. There's no question.
That's what he does, though. It's like one every two or three seasons. It's like, oh, this is the end of Ginobili. And the next thing you know, he comes back out and he's like, oh, I'll just hit some huge threes.
Every year we've had this conversation.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I don't think either of them are going anywhere.
Not this year.
No. I think they'll give it one more go at it.
They did look more beat up in that Clipper series. And like Tony Parker was a shell of himself.
If Parker was healthy...
They're in playing right now.
Yeah. They're killing the Rockets.
Yeah, they're up 2-0, probably.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think,
But to answer that question, it's Russ.
I'm so glad that Russ is representing this team at the draft lottery.
It's going to be great.
What if they won?
That'd be insane.
What if they won the lottery?
He may kick a hole through, the little desk he stands at or something or sits.
That would be...
They're not going to win it, but that'd be amazing.
They're not going to. No. And did you know, I'm trying to think. Oh, the Heat. If somebody behind the Heat, they have the 10th pick. If somebody behind the Heat jumps them, they lose their pick. It goes to the Hawks or somebody like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's twofold. The Thunder win, the lottery, the Heat lose their pick altogether.
Not as good since LeBron's on the Heat.
Yes, since the Heat are kind of just a...
But they need this pick really badly. They need it badly. Especially, the 10th pick in the draft, you can get a really nice player.
It's a great draft, too.
So it's...
Just don't get Jaren Grant. We want him.
They won't.
Well. Next TQ. At Jamie Don Wheat wants to know, who has the best uniform in the NBA? And retro uniforms can be included as well.
Have we answered this question before?
We have.
We have.
I think so too.
I'll give a new answer. I really like the retro Hawks jerseys. Did you see the retro Hawks jersey whenever they wore
it? Are they red?
This season? They're red.
Red with the yellow.
They got a big, long squiggly on them.
God, man, I don't have a clue how to answer this question.
Like a big, long squiggly. I don't know who I really like the Bulls uniform. Just classic.
It's classic.
When I think basketball, I'm thinking of someone in a Bulls uniform.
Lakers.
Classic. No.
Oh, no, definitely not.
All right.
I'm just kidding. I like their uniform, too.
I'm probably, if we're going just as far as historic, the Celtics, man, they haven't changed at all. They don't have a throwback because their jerseys are already throwback, aren't they?
They've changed, tiny.
I like minutia. I like Phoenix's throwbacks, the purple with kind of the...
Anything with pinstripes I'm into.
Weird letters.
I'll say that.
The old Raptors
Orlando?
One. The old Orlando ones.
Orlando wraps. I really like the Thunder white sleeve jerseys. What's the next question?
God, our blue away one, which is the ugliest thing on the planet. At Cody, son of Steve, wants to know, serious question, what are your thoughts on Hack a Shock?
First of all, thank you.
It's been a hot topic since Pop used it.
I want to bring this up. Steve, father of Cody, followed us.
He did.
On Twitter.
Steve, father Cody. What? The Steve Carson.
Wow. Is that really his?
Yeah, it really happened. Wow. But anyways, go ahead.
He should definitely change his Twitter name, by the way. Steve, father of Cody.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. First off, thank you for putting the caveat that this is a serious question.
Yeah.
Because most of the time our questions... Not so serious. Hack a Shack. We had a pretty fun and lively conversation via text messages.
Indeed, we did.
It could have been better via taco.
Taco. Nobody knows what that is. Andrew, maybe we can have a somewhat spirited debate about this. So I want to hear your cons against it are entertainment. It's boring.
It's boring. Who wants to see DeAndre Jordan shoot free throws? Nobody. Yeah. Nobody. It sucks.
Which is the funniest thing about this Clippers Rocket series is they're basically trading it because then Doc
and
does
it sucks.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
How many 48 free throws for the Rockets? Or something like that?
It's miserable.
Only 37 of them were James Harden. So here's the deal: the arguments for it in the sense that it's part of the game. Like, it is part of the game. Learn how to make your free throws is what everybody says, like, which is a cop out. I understand that. Like, it doesn't make sense, but it is. If you were to cater to that, which the NBA historically caters to entertainment more than it does anything else.
Yeah. Like,
so they will make an adjustment on this.
Yeah.
I don't have any real opinions about what the adjustments would be, but for me, it kind of makes it unfair for the defense if you penalize them, because this guy, DeAndre Jordan, is very limited offensively. He's great at catching the ball and dunking it. That's it. And so on defense is where he earns his time, his money, and all that stuff. And so if you were to protect him in the hack-a-shack thing or the hack-a...
It's just protecting basketball. It's not protecting DeAndre Jordan.
It is, but... I mean, there's only a few guys that they do it to in the entire NBA.
Yeah, and it's, you know? And it's destroying the watchability of playoff
games.
It's
true, and Adam Silver will address it because of that.
It's the worst.
It is the worst.
And it's and the thing is, with me, it's not basketball. Like, hugging somebody at midcourt, that's not a basketball play. Like, this isn't that's not the game of basketball. All you're doing is it's a loophole technicality that you're exploiting because you know that you can gain another possession. And it kills the flow of the game. It kills the... If you've ever been in an arena when it's happening,
just like the
it destroys
sucks.
The crowd. Destroys it. The Thunder did it to
the Clippers.
DeAndre, and Luke and I were there, and it was a miserable game.
Yeah.
It killed every sort of air that was in the arena. It just took it all out. It was miserable.
So how do you... So we understand that, right? Like, I think that's a pretty common thought.
Yeah.
What do you do to address it is the bigger question.
Then you just... You let them shoot free throws, and then you give the team the ball back.
Yeah. That's a pretty simple, yeah.
I mean, you can't intentionally foul somebody. I mean, if they throw the ball to DeAndre, just foul the crap out of him. Foul him, you know, if you want him to shoot.
But there's regulations and rules on that, right? Like, so is
six
it
fouls.
Anybody that gets fouled, or is it after a certain point it's... Or, like, only certain people, or is it only...
What do you mean?
Like, how do you do that? So any foul, like, you caveat the foul, right? And so only these certain types of fouls, you get the foul and the ball back.
It's intentional.
Yeah.
It's an intentional foul. I mean, they're hugging him.
Yeah.
That's not a basket. I mean, if it's a basketball play.
So it's kind of like clear path, right? And so they can evaluate it. They can.
Well, no, I don't think you need to evaluate it. If it's a basketball play, you just call your common foul.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
If you're hugging a guy and you're, you know, doing the hack of DeAndre or whatever you want to call it, the name needs changed, but
I know.
Then, like, it's never like, are they doing that? Like, obviously, yes, they're implementing.
You're right. You're
hack
right.
Or whatever.
How pissed will Shaq and those Lakers teams be if they make this rule? I mean, they would have destroyed.
Well, I mean, how pissed is Jordan right now that they changed the rules, the hand check rules? I mean,
that's true.
So, I mean, they've changed rules throughout.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just speaking for fun. Yeah. I'm not saying, like, are they going to file a formal complaint? Or you know, like,
I just think something needs to change, because this series could be an actual fun series. The Rockets and Clippers, even though I don't know how to feel about it.
I hate both of them.
But it could be a really fun series. But it's not.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, no one likes to watch free throws.
I stop watching whenever it happens.
Free throws, I mean, honestly, free throws are just there because we had to have some way to
penalize
fouls. And free throws are miserable all the time.
Yep.
So any way that we can get less free throws is much better.
I like that foul, get the ball back. I mean, there's part of it hides, you know, like, it sucks. Like, DeAndre Jordan, therefore, so one of the arguments for, like, or against, I don't know how you would say it, to say that it's okay, like, it should be a part of the game, is that, and Thorpe brought this up, Coach Thorpe, it's the fact that it gives you more out to hide somebody's flaws, in the sense of, like, Andre Robertson. Well, on the court, you don't guard him at the three-point line. Well, we don't penalize the fact that he didn't guard him in order to make it a more entertaining game. Now, I understand it's different.
Yeah.
But there is an aspect of it where it is, like, this is a glaring weakness for the team that you're exploiting in some sense. And so what the NBA is doing is saying, for entertainment's sake, we're going to make it to where you can't do that.
Yeah, but it's more of like a, like I said, a loophole than it is like a, like we're, like a, true game plan. Like, it's not basket. Like, it's just not a basketball play. Like, that's my problem. Like, not guarding Andre Roberson at the 3-point line is totally a basketball play and a good game plan that will result in free flowing basketball.
Yeah.
Fouling somebody intentionally, which is not basketball, destroys the game.
I mean, it technically is basketball.
It's a technicality within the rules, but it's
what's
not
funny
the game.
To me is that the two coaches that are doing it right now are two of the best in the game. Like, Popovich did it,
right?
And
I mean,
it's all the time.
It's yeah, and look where they're at home now.
I mean, we can't say that as it like, look what he did, and this is where he is.
A lot of times it didn't work, though.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of times it didn't work.
But a lot of times teams like that, they do it to mess the flow up anyway. Like, that's the point of it.
And it messed up their flow, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I hate it.
It'll be gone this offseason. They'll do something about it. It's growing, and it's people's, you know, frustration with it. And
next. Hey, if you like endless free throws, let us know.
I love free throws. Let's talk about it.
Tweet at us.
Next Twitter question is from @TimeTeo592, who wants to know who's likely the next player to get traded. Do we move anyone on draft night?
I mean, the biggest question marks are Lamb and Perry Jones. But they're
Novak is probably a guy that we need to look at as a possibility as well.
Yeah. God, man, he just has Presti guy written all over him. Like, good locker room guy. You know,
I love the Vac man.
Period.
Yeah. I mean, he's. Yeah.
What's his contract?
But I'm just saying, he's got a year left.
How much?
Like, I think he's like
$35.
No, he's expensive. Hold on. I don't want to say anything. For who he is, he's expensive. But yeah, I think you have to look at Perry Jones and Jeremy Lamb first.
But they're cheap and unproven.
Yeah.
Are you just piecing them for
They're
second round picks.
And they're proving that they haven't been able to get on the court consistently for 3 years. They've proven that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that those guys could be dealt, but they need to clear some roster spots. I mean, they promised Josh Huesis they're going to bring him over.
Old Joshy.
What if there's like, about that? Why don't you stay with the Blue?
We'd hammer.
Don't have a spot.
Now,
for you.
They could sign him to a contract, though, and just send him to the Blue. But crap, at this point, like.
But I don't know
what Huesis brings, but I kind of know what Perry Jones and Lamb bring.
Nothing. Bunch of
unless Donovan feels like he can get more out of those guys, why would you not just give Huesis a shot?
I don't know.
A million dollar contract or whatever it is.
Well, he'll get his rookie scale deal.
Yeah.
Well, it'll start.
But I don't know what that is.
About it. Yeah, you're right. It's. I think it might be, well, it's around $1 million because he was a first round pick. Steve Novak is $3.4 million.
Gone.
That's expensive for a guy who
never plays.
That's like standard for, I guess, how many years he's been in the league. But anyways, I think that he could be dealt. I think that obviously Lamb and Jones could be dealt. I mean, I don't know what the Donovan thing changes everything.
You're right.
Like, I don't know what Donovan thinks about Deion Waiters. I think he's going to give him a shot, but yeah. I'm not going to say that
he could be a deadline guy.
I'm not going to say he won't be dealt.
But you got to pray to God that Waiters comes out, because Waiters is not somebody that people are calling Sam Presti to get right now. You know,
right.
But if he comes out and he plays pretty well, but he's just not playing or fitting in the system.
I don't even know if they picked up his option yet.
So,
but anyways,
Waiters, that is an option. It would be weird that
they gave up a first round for him, but.
I think Waiters is kind of like Singler, where I just think that they have a vision for him to be a part of the team.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to deal him. I think that it's a possibility. But I think the guys most likely to be dealt are Perry Jones, Jeremy Lamb, Steve Novak. Those are guys at the end of the bench. Steve Novak's 31. He didn't play that much. Let me see what his totals were for the Thunder.
None of the new guys.
Right? But, yeah, he played 88 minutes.
Like a DJ Augustine, McGarry.
No, I mean, DJ's got a great contract, and he's a really nice backup.
Where does McGarry fit in that? He's just going to be, because if this team's at full health, he's
on the bench.
Firmly seated on the bench.
Yeah, he's just developing.
He's playing on the Blue.
He's got a lot. He's got a lot of developing.
Because obviously the plan is
when Nick's
finally done.
When Nick's done, then yeah,
okay,
of course.
Yeah, so I think you're right.
I think those are the most
likely. So you're going to have to add Hustis and whoever they draft this year in the first round.
And, I mean, we always talk about, oh, I think they're going to deal this pick. I think they're probably going to pick a guy.
Oh, this year, 100% they will.
At that spot, too. Because you can get good, I mean, you can get good value at 14. So.
Next Twitter question.
Is from at M. Catterick, and he wants to know, in light of the big boxing fight last Saturday, which two NBA players would you want to see in the ring? My choice, Meta World Peace, and anyone else.
He's not in the NBA, though.
He was.
He was. So I tried to do this and think of people that are like, who would actually probably, because here's my opinion about the NBA. It's a whole bunch, and Kobe Bryant said this, it's a whole bunch of fake tough guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows how to fight. Like, watch, every time they pull back, it's like a whole bunch of just staring at each other and what?
Well, it's not the sweet science.
So guys,
what do you say?
The sweet science.
What is that?
It's boxing.
Oh,
you've never heard that?
No.
For guys that I feel like right probably now. Are real tough guys is what I was looking for. Reggie Evans.
Okay,
he's so terrifying looking.
Yeah, he looks like
he would kill somebody.
He looks like a member of ICP.
Right. That's less intimidating. and then, you know, I always say this anytime somebody picks a fight with Serge, like. I feel like Serge, the guy grew up on the streets of Congo.
Yeah. Did you hear Steven Jackson talking about Serge?
Huh.
Steven Jackson thinks that he's like the fakest tough guy in the league.
Steven Jackson?
He's the guy. Steven Jackson said that who he hates the most in the league? Serge Ibaka.
Where did you hear Steven Jackson talk about something?
It was on the Grantland Basketball Hour.
Ah.
I mean, that was the first guy that he mentioned. They were like, who's a guy you just don't like? Serge Ibaka was the really? Guy that he chose. Yeah,
that's wow. Weird.
Isn't that weird?
I don't like Steven Jackson, so it kind of.
Here's my fight: Zach Randolph versus Nate Robinson.
Yeah. Oh. Wow.
I think that would be really fun. I want to see somebody beat Nate Robinson in the face. Did you see him on TNT the other night?
Not.
He was awful. It was awful.
Did you see Shaq fall down?
I did see Shaq fall down.
Was that one better than when he fell into the Christmas tree? Did you see that one? Because that one made my Christmas.
I because he fell down, someone linked to a thing of just a whole lot of things of Shaq falling down doing that show, dude, and it's great.
He's such a massive man.
Shaq's so funny.
Anyway, Zebo, Nate Robb, I think would be really fun.
You know what my first thought was whenever you told me that you want to see Nate Robb fight somebody is Mike Tyson's punch out.
Oh, yeah. How
little Mike had to like, what's his name? Little Mike?
Yes.
He'd have to jump and hit people. That's Nate Robinson.
No, it's a little Mac.
Mac, that's right. Yeah.
But like Zebo.
Zebo's one of those. Like Zebo and Reggie Evans would be like.
Zebo Reggie Evans would be a good one. Zebo Perk would be really good
stab,
too.
Though.
Zebo Perk?
Yeah, I don't know. Perk is somebody I feel like is probably more of a fake tough guy.
Oh, there's no question. But you can put some boxing gloves on.
That's true. He is so slow, though. Zach at least is a little quick. Perkins would be like one punch. Come on, man.
All right, next Twitter question. It's from at Axel Rose for real. Wants to know who are your favorite prospects for OKC that they should target. Does Hustis have a role next season?
So let me say this. I think that number one. One of the best punts that we've done is that one we did a few weeks ago with the Draft Express guy and the guy from OnlyGators.com. Is what it is?
And Mike Schmitz. He's the guy. Mike Schmitz is the guy who does all the Draft Express videos.
And so he watches everybody.
So he's watching tons of tape. And he's great.
Yeah, so
you need to go listen to
Go listen to that pod. That gives us, it's a way more in-depth look at those guys than what we're going to give you right now. I'm all aboard the Jerry and Grant. Train probably.
Love Jerry and Grant.
Yeah. He's the point guard from Notre Dame. He's tall. He's athletic. I think he could transition somewhat to. He's not a great shooter right now, yet already better than probably all three of our shooting guards that we have.
Shooting
other than 30, Morrow,
36% from three in college,
which is a jump shot in the NBA. But you know, he has all the intangibles that you want. He's a great passer. He's a good defender.
He's a decent defender.
Well, yeah, on the NBA, NCAA level, too. But then you have So the other guys are a guy like Booker out of Kentucky, but I don't think he fits the Thunder's mold at all. Like, he's a Morrow type.
He's better than that. He's more of an athlete than Anthony Morrow ever dreamed of being.
But the Draft Express guy did not sell me much on Booker.
You know how old Booker is?
Yeah, 19.
He's 18. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
He's 18. Yeah. Booker, I like Booker a lot. He's super smart, and he can shoot from anywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, that's a Donovan
guy. Am I thinking wrong to think that he's the, like, he doesn't have a long wingspan, like, all the things that Thunder normally, historically look like.
Yeah, but then you look at, like, Kyle Singler and his Cantor. You're right.
I mean, I understand. I'm not saying, I can see them picking Booker if he's there.
I like him a lot. I don't know that they'll take him, but I think that just bringing a guy who's a lights-out shooter, who's super young, that could fill that two-guard spot, that, I mean, he'll never be a plus defender, but you bring in a guy that can play within a defensive system and just shoot lights out. I mean, when the ball swings over to him, you know that he's going to make it. I mean, he had the best 3-point percentage of any shooting guard in the draft.
It's pretty good.
I mean, and he's 18. He turns 19 in October. So I think that he would, I mean, he's young. He'll need time to develop. He won't play next year. That's the thing. Like, Jerian Grant can play next year. Jerian Grant can get minutes, but he's also almost 4 years older.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Than Devin Booker.
So the
Grant's older than Steven Adams.
I know. The youth aspect of it does make you think that Booker's probably more on their radar. But man, what Presti does every year is surprises.
He'll pick somebody that, I mean, here's, I mean, some of their guys, like Kelly Oubre, I really think is great. He's a super athlete. He's very raw. He kind of reminds me of kind of what Paul George looked like coming out of college. Guy that can score. He's an athlete. He's got a decent shooting stroke. He's got all the defensive tools, but he's raw. He needs a lot. So he could be like a Paul George type guy. He's 6'7". He's a big guy. He's not really a two, but I think that he could play.
But the best defender of the bunch.
He could play the two.
Or defensive potential, mm-hmm. I guess.
So I really like him. Sam Decker, I like him, but I just don't think he fits on the Thunder team. I just don't think that there's a spot for him. RJ Hunter's another guy that people talk a lot about. He's a shooting guard out of Georgia State. I think he could be a really nice role-playing two guard. The problem is that, like, everybody projects him to be like in the 20s.
Yeah, it'd be a leap for the Thunder,
which kind of gives me pause. But I mean, Presti hasn't been afraid to pick a guy that he wants.
He takes who he wants, regardless.
So sure. I don't know. I think that
one of us just had a really good idea.
Bing, bing.
I think that they need to pick a two guard, but I'm not. I don't know. I don't know that they want to do that. I think that a point guard is on their radar, and I think that Jerian Grant would be perfect because he can come in and play both spots. And he's more of a point guard than he is a shooting guard, definitely. But I like Jerian Grant. I think,
man, just my first glance at him, I had a CJ McCollum connection, but I think he's different than that.
He's different. He's more of a passer.
Yeah. So I don't know who'd be. Did we get a comparable on him?
Draft Express doesn't give
comps. They got away from that.
They don't. I mean, they won't.
Because it just sets you up for failure, basically.
Yeah. I mean, if they say that, you know, Jerian Grant's, I don't know who
even. Andre Miller or something.
Yeah. They're going to be like, well, he's definitely not Andre Miller. He's way more athletic than.
Okay. I love Andre Miller.
But anyways, those guys, I think, would be great. There's just not a spot. I think they're going to pick a one or a two. And I don't know. Here's a challenge. Figure out who Presti's going to take.
Yeah.
Get out of the, this is who I like, this is who would be great.
Nobody had who they got last year.
If you can choose, if you can pick who Presti's going to take, like, tweet at us or something. If you can figure out, any of us can figure out who Presti's going to take on draft night, I think we could have some sort of prize available.
Yep. But I will say this, the only one I do remember, I think it was Chad Ford, actually, was right on Steven Adams.
Yeah, a lot of people had him, though.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and there were reports that Adams was in Oklahoma City at certain points.
And so there are some that they, but last year it was like, McGarry? What?
Yeah, Josh Huestis?
Who?
Yeah.
So we'll see. And I could see them making a move to move up. If they see somebody that's available that's two or three picks away, is packaging something, putting something together to move up. Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited. So the lottery is May 19th. So it's next week, or actually it's about a week and a half away.
Yeah.
That's a fun night anyway. Russ will be there. It's a fun night. It's during, is it before game, I think? I think it's before one of the playoff games.
Yeah, it's before the first game, usually.
And so it's a lot of fun. Make sure you tune into that. And then the draft's pretty quick after the season.
Yep.
All right, next Twitter question comes from at Ryan Woods. He wants to know, what does it say about the Brooks hate if Donovan keeps Roberson in the starting lineup?
Here's what I think. I don't think that we, just because he keeps him in the starting lineup doesn't mean that it can end the Brooks hate on what he did with Andre Roberson. It just depends on how he uses him. So if he's gonna leave him in the starting lineup, and he's going to park him in the corner and just let him stand there and destroy one side of the floor for us, then I think, like, that's ridiculous. If he uses him as a cutter and a guy who's going to be more involved in ways like that, rather than parking him in the corner, I think that then, you know, that's way different than what Brooks did. I'd be really surprised if he starts Roberson. I'd be really shocked, because he loves guys who can shoot threes, and he loves to put guys in positions to do things that they can do. And, I mean, Roberson's just not a shooter, unless he develops over the offseason. I mean, he's just not a guy who can knock down threes, and I think that Donovan's going to be looking for a guy like that. Even, I mean, it'd be better to start Waiters if you were looking for a shooter. I mean, obviously Waiters isn't a shooter, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a ton of Anthony Morrow next year. Maybe even him in the starting lineup makes some sense. But I don't know. I think it just depends on how he uses him. I think that Roberson will play if he's still on this team next year. It just depends on how he uses him.
Yep. I agree. I don't really foresee him doing that either. So,
yeah, it's one of those glaring things. That's like, why?
Unless he does spend the summer and comes out and practices, and Donovan thinks, man, this guy's got everything, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he may develop. I mean, he's still a young guy.
Very young.
That can develop his shot. So he may develop his shot over the offseason and then come back and be ready to be a 3-and-D guy. But I have my doubts.
But that's next Twitter question, and our last Twitter question comes from at Jamie Don Wheat, and he wants to know, what did I think of Age of Ultron? It was awesome.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
Do it.
I just get the whole time, huh?
It's all you, Luke.
It was really great. Scarlet Witch is so fine. I thought James Spader was really good, and I think it obviously sets up Black Panther, which is gonna be good. But it got me really excited for Ant-Man.
I mean, so I had to take Luke out on Thursday.
Yeah, this is all we talked about. Okay, since then, the cast for Captain America Civil War came out.
Did it really?
Yes. And pretty much almost everyone that's in Avengers is in Captain America Civil War. Iron Man's in it. Scarlet Witch is in it. The Falcon is in it. Ant-Man is in it. The guy who's going to be Black Panther's in it. They haven't cast a Spider-Man, but Spider-Man will be in it. It's going to be basically just another Avengers movie, just from the perspective, I think, of Captain America. The girl who is Sharon Carter, or Peggy Carter, one of them, his like love interest from the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, is in it. There's going to be a ton of people in that movie, and it's going to be great.
And that comes out next.
They're filming it right now, so it comes out 2016 next year.
17.
Yeah. And so it set up a ton of things. It's going to be really good, and I'm super
moving on
excited.
To the rest of the league.
All right. Next. Curry was announced MVP. How do we feel about that?
Fantastic.
That's a great thing, mostly because I don't have to deal with the fact that James Harden is the MVP.
That's true.
And he had a really nice speech. And I think he was the best guy.
It's pretty clear. We thought it'd be the two of those. Russ got fourth. LeBron got third. Harden got second. Steph got first, and I don't have a problem with any of that.
No, that's fine.
That was pretty cool.
But Steph was great this season, and it's been pretty good this postseason, or it's been really good this postseason, except for game two of the Memphis series, but
yeah.
Everybody gets a game.
How do we feel about Jimmy Butler as most improved
player?
He
is the most improved guy, I think. Between him and Draymond, really.
Yeah, man, Dre is so good.
He's really good. He didn't get anything.
Where did Jimmy Butler play in college?
Marquette. Yep.
Huh.
Yep. That's a fact.
Yeah, great player this year, and he's a big piece for that team going forward. That's been a fun series. I know we'll talk about it here in a minute, but I don't know if fun is the right word. Interesting series.
It's been pretty fun.
Yeah.
Well, let's fire off the series that are going on right now and see if we have any thoughts about it. What about Clippers, Rockets? Hate watch.
It's a hate watch. I don't know how
to feel.
It is a hate watch, man, but that first game without Chris Paul, the Clippers destroyed them.
They were really good.
And they, I mean, there's a few things that just didn't go their way in the second game, or they were pretty close to going up 2-0. And then the Rockets, it kind of just
they like woke up at halftime.
Yeah.
Well, James Harden just started taking shots.
Well, and they also they locked down defensively. Like Blake in the fourth quarter. I only watched a little bit of the fourth quarter of that game.
I think Blake was gassed.
He had to be gassed, man. He's carrying that team right now. And Austin Rivers is so bad.
He's bad.
So here's a fun question.
The vines of him have been.
Can you tell me another player that's getting legitimate playoff minutes that's as bad as him?
Oh, man. Pablo Prigioni? Not that bad.
Pablo at least just like...
He just knows his role.
Exactly.
He just stays in his lane.
The worst kind of... he's talented, obviously. He's in NBA. But the worst kind of role player is a role player. And this is the issue people have with waiters. Is the role player who thinks he should be not a role player.
Rivers is basically a worse Dion Waiters.
Right?
This is really sad.
Yeah. But... You know, I think the Clippers were pretty close to taking that second game. Yeah. If Chris Paul's back in game 3 and 4.
It's over.
I mean, they may go up. I mean, they'll win both those games, I'm predicting right now. It seems like it's a bad matchup for the Rockets.
I don't know. I mean, the Rockets, I feel like they could play so much better. I don't know. Series shift.
You're absolutely right.
So I'm not counting the Rockets out at this point, but it really is kind of glaring that they were able to hang with them in that second game so much without Chris Paul, and then got killed in the first game. So, I mean, it doesn't bode well for the Rockets. I mean, I wouldn't pick the Rockets to win this series, but I also wouldn't count them.
Especially if there's a position, like, they're not getting back just like a random role player for the Clippers.
They're getting back one of the best five players in the league.
And a position that the Rockets can't. They don't have anybody to put out there, right? Like, not that I know they play defense in a different way, but Chris Paul is going to destroy the Rockets.
He's
going to
light them up.
And so that does not bode well for the Rockets.
I just hate it because I don't want the Clippers to go to the next round, and I don't want the Rockets to
go. But I'll go ahead and say this. Whoever wins this series will lose to the Western in the Western Conference Finals.
I agree. But let's talk about who they will be losing to.
Oh, we will.
Grizzlies and Warriors.
I mean, like, literally, they'll play the games.
How do you feel about the Grizzlies and Warriors?
Man,
Mike Conley, man.
Huge deal.
The Terminator.
His eye looks horrible.
He might lose it.
He looks terrible.
I think they're going to pull it out.
Like Fetty Wap.
An eye patch.
He was awesome.
Dude.
Hit his first 4 shots and then looked exhausted and then came back out and was great. He was
friend of the pod, Matt Moore, who's the hardwood paroxysm, but also is a huge Grizzlies guy.
Yes.
Was so pissed off at all the national media because I don't know anybody that didn't call it almost a sweep across the board.
Right.
And he's like, are you guys for real? You know, he kind of functions in that.
Well, he was one of the guys that was calling it a sweep.
Yeah. But it was weird. It was a weird conversation.
Yeah. There's lots kind of weird conversations.
But there's also this aspect, like the Grizz, man. They're the Grizz. This is what they do. They muck up series.
If anybody sneaks up and does damage, it's the freaking Grizzlies.
And I love them for that. So there's two teams in the NBA that they should be the Thunder's nemesis, but I like them too much. The Spurs and the Grizz.
Yeah, man.
And the Grizz, it's just one of those things, like, I'm excited to watch this series. Like, they have the pieces to make it very difficult for the
Warriors. They just make things miserable.
And so, I mean, the Warriors, what was the final? 91?
They held them to 90 points.
Yeah, something like that. And so,
like 99-90,
but I think. I mean, they came and took the second game at the Oracle. Nobody's won at the Oracle since January 29th of this year.
They're like the fourth team to win an Oracle this year.
And now that's they're going back to the Grindhouse for games 3 and 4. I mean, I think the Grizzlies can win the series.
I think they can.
You still pick the Warriors?
I pick the Warriors to win it, but
I agree.
I think that it could.
Man, I'm gonna
go the distance.
I'm gonna do it just because I want to go ahead and make sure that the Warriors play the next round. So okay. I'm gonna pick the Grizzlies to win that series.
Okay, so tell me who you think's gonna win: the Clippers,
Clippers, Grizzlies,
Clips, Grizz. Okay, I've got Dubs, Grizz.
Which, I'll be honest with you, at the beginning of this playoffs,
Dubs, Grizz, what's playing right now?
Clippers, Dubs,
Clips, Dubs.
Luke?
Clip Dubs.
Clip Dubs.
I think that's probably true. Guys, how do you feel about the Hawks and Wizard Party?
I feel like I don't want to watch a single play of it.
Well, it sucks because John Wall has 5 displaced fractures in his hand and wrist. I mean,
so many fractures.
It feels like that series is over.
Yeah, but
with Ramon Sessions having to play so much.
I mean, but the Hawks still almost let the Wizards win the last game.
I know.
They ended up blowing them out in the end. But, man,
the Hawks have not been. They have underwhelmed.
You talking about the Taylors?
The Taylors have been underwhelming.
Yeah, they have been. There's no doubt that they have been, but
it reminds me of if you always remember the Pacers runs the last few years too, like they went 7 with the Hawks last year in the first round. And then struggled through the second round against the Wizards, and so it's like it reminds me of kind of that Eastern Conference.
You can sputter through the Eastern Conference,
but I fully expect Atlanta to win, especially now that John Wall's out.
Yeah,
is he out? I mean, he's out.
They haven't called it yet. They said they can't even see the extent of the damage to his hand.
So he's out.
Yeah, he's out.
He's lost it.
So bad we can't
see. Big hook.
And then you have the Cleveland Chicago series, which has been a good series in the first 2 games. And
yeah,
swung the pendulum both ways. The Bulls look like, oh god, they may sweep this, and then all of a sudden LeBron's like, I'll put a headband on.
That's what the
LeBron.
Bulls do, man.
And
the Bulls are so hit and miss.
It's 1-1 going back to Chicago.
Yeah.
Are you still picking Cleveland?
Yeah.
Luke?
I don't know.
We got J.R. Smith back, man.
Game changer.
Yeah. He actually is a game changer.
I know, it's weird.
But I think
This is the same thing. This is like my Warriors Memphis.
Yeah.
Like, I want the Bulls to win this series.
The Bulls just can't. They just can't bring it every night. They haven't done it at all season. They haven't been able to bring it every single night.
Yeah.
And
whenever you get Pau Gasol 8 shots.
Who are you betting on? LeBron James? Or are you betting on the Bulls showing up?
I don't know. I don't know.
Give me LeBron.
I don't know.
Give the man Bron.
I'm taking Chicago.
Give me that Bron.
I'm all over on the opposite of that.
All right. Well.
Okay, so we have
Chicago, Atlanta. And then somehow Chicago wins that series and then gets beaten 4 games to whoever wins the West.
I've got the Cavs going to the finals.
I mean, obviously I can see that.
Cavs, Dubs. LeBron versus the Warriors.
Dubs win in 5 games.
Cavs win in 7.
What?
No, I don't know. I'm not joking.
Too early. It's too early.
It's too early to know. Anyways, I just think I'm just riding with LeBron, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty smart decision.
There's just no, like, the only thing that we know for sure is that LeBron is still awesome. And he hasn't been as awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to say, he hasn't been as awesome.
But in this Eastern Conference, how awesome do you have to be?
Not very.
On a scale of awesome.
But to beat one of these 4 teams that are left in the West, you have to be really awesome.
You got to be great. The Grizzlies have to be perfect to beat the Golden State Warriors.
Don't give me that crap.
They do.
Don't give me that crap.
I mean, what are they? They're going to have to do what they did.
Yeah, but they're home, man. They will beat the living crap out of them down low, man.
Will they?
And they just got to stay big on the perimeter. Yeah, I mean, Gasol doesn't. Bogut's somewhat neutralized, right? So the issue for me is Draymond. Like, Draymond is a great hybrid defender.
Yeah.
He can defend a 3-4 pretty well. But, man, Randolph is not that.
Right.
He's a little more like Blake, but he's a better grind guy. Like, he's just better at pushing Draymond.
I agree with that.
So Randolph's going to give him troubles. The issue gets to, like, The Grizzlies have a... They thought Jeff Green would be that piece. He's not been.
No.
Vince Carter's another option they have there, which is just not... I mean, he had one good game, I think, last series. Conley's a huge piece, but...
Huge.
But I don't see Conley out-dueling Curry ever again this series, even though Conley's really good.
Well, here's what they have to do, is that they are going to have to defend the three-point line and neutralize Klay Thompson throughout the rest of the series.
Which, man, Tony Allen, I mean, if there's anybody that can do it... It's Tony Allen, or at least slow down. You know,
first team all defense.
God, he's so good. He's great. All defense.
But I think that it's going to be really hard to, and this is what's hard for the series, is that the Warriors are going to make as many threes as the Grizzlies shoot, typically, and. Obviously, 3 points is more than 2 points.
It's 1 point
and
more.
It's really hard to play catch up whenever you can't shoot threes.
You're right. I mean,
it's hard.
I understand
when you're making threes.
I understand that those aspects of it. There is a part of me that Memphis has more experience. It's not much.
They do,
but they have more experience. They got game two, which is a big deal, and they don't have to win all four. They don't have to win four in a row. They have to win three out of the next five. You know, so they just have to win one more than the other team at this point.
Yeah.
So I think it's more of
that's hard.
It is hard.
The Warriors are a historically good team, which makes this that's tough. Done. I think the Grizzlies have a shot. I'm not saying they don't have a shot. I'm just saying that it's...
I think I picked them just because I kind of want that
it's
hope.
Really,
it's fun for me to see them
really
play.
Tough.
All right. Well, guys, we got a game.
Do we?
Yep. Quick game. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
4.
8.
The number was 4. Andrew wins.
Yes.
Now, time for our Say What Stat of the Week.
So close.
Andrew is the winner. You get to go first. What's your Say What? Say What Stat of the Week?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
What?
I can't read lips, Jay.
Say what?
Stat of the Week.
My Say What Stat of the Week...
You may be the only one that has one, because I do not have something today.
Why not?
Like I said, man, I'm so busy into school that I'm just not... I've watched 20 minutes of basketball in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
So
I've played 20 minutes of basketball in the past 10 years.
The Washington Wizards have the best points per shot in the playoffs so far, at like 1.17. Compared to their regular season point per shot at 1.08. So they have increased their points per shot almost, you know, 10 little percentage points, which is huge. Huge.
Here's my Say What Stat of the Week. Blake Griffin, game one, a monster triple-double.
26, was that 14, 13?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
Hard because we don't want Blake Griffin. Now, here's the deal. I'm an OU fan. I love Blake Griffin in college. He's made me not so much a Blake Griffin fan since being in the NBA. But, man, it's hard to deny that he's a really good basketball player.
Who's the best power forward in the league?
Him. For me, it was between LaMarcus Aldridge and him. But man,
it's Blake.
Blake's doing it, man.
It's Blake. It's not even a question anymore.
Yeah, he can shoot now. I mean, he can.
He's going rebound. To and he's going to extend his range to three. And when he does,
the world will explode.
No one will stop him.
I don't know. Anthony Davis, a power forward.
Yeah,
you still take Blake?
I take Blake today.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I take Blake today.
I mean, I have the right to change my mind on game
I
one
think,
next season.
Yeah. Davis may over the summer may become. Better, but I think Blake's been the best player in the playoffs, period.
I heard somebody else say the exact same thing yesterday.
He's been so good. And I mean, to carry that Clippers team,
they're garbage, man. Their roster is so weak. It's weird
bad.
To me.
Yeah.
That they're still, and it is because they are
if
carried
Doc Rivers
by the
didn't, I mean, Doc Rivers screwed this up. I mean, he hard capped him by signing Spencer Hawes. I mean, if they had just a reasonable bench, like
they would have a legit shot at the title.
They could go to the finals
for sure,
but
they don't.
They've screwed it up so much.
They're getting too many minutes from Matt Barnes, too many minutes from Austin Rivers,
Big Baby, Turkoglu. Like wow, like that's your bench.
Yeah,
like that's amazing.
Turkoglu,
it's amazing.
He's still in the NBA.
It's amazing that happened because Doc Rivers saw him play really well in 2009.
It's crazy. Yeah, Doc should not be the GM of that team.
You never want your coach to be the GM. Can I be honest with you?
I'll talk about it, Mr. Beef. Go on.
My say what said of the week. John Wall, like 5 or 6 fractures in his hand and wrist.
Sucks.
That hurts.
That sucks because the Wizards
won that series.
I was just joining Wizard Party.
Wizard Party's over.
I don't like it.
Until
it
2016 sucks. When they get Durant.
Then Wizard Party forever!
God, I love Wizard Party. Okay, let's move on to Miffed and Peeved.
Miffed!
Miffed!
Miffed! Miffed and Peeved.
Why are you guys miffed? Why are you guys peeved?
Can I tell you something that miffs and peeves me?
Yep.
I don't even know his name. What's the new Clippers owner's name?
Steve Ballmer.
Ballmer.
Oh, I hate watching him watch a basketball game.
I think it's love so funny. It.
I love it.
I hate it.
I've been clamoring for a Ballmer cam for a while.
He's such a nerd.
Who would? I'd pay $3.99 to have a small square of Steve Ballmer in the corner of my TV just for like, the whole game.
Just like hugging his kid, or just like dancing to the music.
Would you love that? I love, but when like the game's
intense, would you pay $3.99 for that, Luke?
Yes.
Okay,
I would.
Great.
But when the game's intense and he's like covering his face, I get it. Like he's just a super fan, which I love that part of it. But it just annoys me for some reason. Maybe it's because he's the Clippers.
Yeah, it's the Clippers.
Like, if he's a Thunder owner, I'd probably be like, I love this guy!
Did you see when they won their last series, Chris Paul went and hugged Billy Crystal.
Yeah. It was like a moment.
They hugged and like said something, and I was like,
it's because Billy Crystal's been a Clippers fan for 30 years.
Yeah, and he comes all the games.
Super weird. I was just like, what's Billy Crystal doing there?
Here's the reason. Is because that game, again, that series against the Spurs was the vindication for Chris Paul and the Clippers.
It was very
meaningful. They had been criticized every single year, or Chris Paul has, of not being able to win when it matters, and he hit a huge shot.
Yeah,
I mean, he was crying, hugging like Tim Duncan.
It was meaningful,
and all the pop of it. Like they went and talked to the Spurs, and you just saw like tears like welling up, and it's like a big deal for them.
It was like
and
a Reggie he's Jackson been out game.
The first two games of the next series, hamstring,
hammy.
Ham bone.
I'm miffed and peeved because later today I have to make a 6-hour drive to beautiful Lubbock, Texas.
I'm miffed and peeved that guys on the radio in Oklahoma City have such a large impact on what people think. With like the Russell Westbrook stuff.
They ran with it.
And people ran with it with them. And it's just like, okay, like if you want to listen to the radio for entertainment,
sure.
Good. Fine. It's entertaining to hear people yell and scream, I guess. But if you were going to take it and you're going to go to them for information, like, please, well, stop.
It's like 24-hour news. Like, it is entertainment. It's not news. They're going to pick anything and just pick it apart.
I know, but I'm just saying, it is that. But I'm saying that people are going to it for information and then taking it as fact and then saying, like, Russ doesn't want to be on this team anymore because
And they were analyzing it. It was crazy, man. I think we all three somehow, unfortunately, turned it
to it was miserable.
And they were analyzing it as if it was truth.
Yeah. And like, Barry Trammell, who actually was doing a great job, was like, no guys, like this isn't anything.
What if it is? Yeah.
It's like oh god, like please, like, and it was just, it was a rumor, it was a silly, stupid,
totally made up,
it was false.
Well, that's
so, yeah. I was pretty miffed about that.
Yeah, very, very miffed. And peeves.
Yeah, it does suck.
I was gonna call in to Sports Animal and do something, but I forgot what it was, but it was gonna be hilarious. Guys, anything else? What else we got? Tay, do good on your final.
Yeah, man. Everybody finish up. If you're in Oklahoma, we hope you stay safe the next few days.
Seriously.
It seems like it's going to go crazy.
It's been horrifying.
They said yesterday, Friday and Saturday, be careful. Like, just be careful. There's a huge chance for tornadoes from, like, today, 4 to 6. Natives.
Yep. And they said, like, it wasn't just like, oh, there's a moderate risk. High risk.
High risk of
the
tornadoes.
The little graph all the way to the top.
Here in the metro
area.
Can't wait, man.
4 to 6.
I have a question. If you were paid, if you were, you had a job offer, how much would it have to be if a stipulation of it is you have to live in Moore, Oklahoma?
It'd have to be a lot.
I can't say this because one of my best friends literally just moved there.
Well, guess what?
It'd have to be like triple my salary.
It would quadruple. Seriously.
It would be hard.
It would have to be close to that.
I would have to. They'd have to also have a stipulation that said, "And we'll provide you with a new wife because my wife would never move there."
This. What kind of job are you taking?
Well,
you gotta. Did you see? They even okay. Somewhere in Moore, Somewhere and more.
Gone here.
Somewhere and more. Someone, it, tornado's happening. He went to a storm shelter, drowned.
Drowned in a storm shelter. You're not safe anywhere. Not safe
anywhere.
There's nowhere safe
and
there.
You know that there was also possibly wild animals roaming free.
Yes, I did.
Tigers, lions.
I saw another person who's, when they built their storm shelter, there was a leak in their septic system. Storm shelter filled up with poop.
You are not safe anywhere.
You're not.
That's
you're
what
not.
Hey, Oklahoma, you're not safe anywhere.
I have another friend.
Yeah, that's what my favorite tweet of the day was. Lost Ogle, who's just kind of a parody account here locally, said, I wouldn't be surprised if Billy Donovan turns in his resignation and back to Florida tomorrow.
Yeah. No kidding.
I have another friend that was eaten by a tiger.
Not really, but I wish.
Hey, be safe, y'all.
Hey, we're trying to name a turtle. Little tiny turtle. If you got a name for a turtle, holler at me.
I got one. Crap dog.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDpodcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.